It's Open Line Friday on this Friday, January the 11th. I'm Tom Baker, your host for Law and Gospel. What we do on Fridays is that you have the opportunity to ask questions or listen to other people who have some comments or questions, perhaps about items that we talked about during the week or anything else on your mind. Perhaps you've been reading a newspaper article, listening to a Bible study, attending a worship service with a sermon, and heard something that was a little perplexing or confusing. Well, this is the opportunity for the next 2 hours to call in, and in the meantime, we'll be putting in some other items. The numbers to phone are 505-7850. That's here in the St. Louis area. Toll free is 1-800-730-2727. And of course, our email address, lawgospel@kfuo.org. That's lawgospel@kfuo.org. Maybe to get your thinking juices going, came across my desk recently that Republican presidential candidate Mike Huckabee has been called upon to defend another Bible passage. That's the one about wives submitting to their husbands. At Thursday night's Fox News debate in South Carolina, Huckabee explained that the passage from the New Testament book of Ephesians also commands the husband to love his wife and submit himself to the Lord. Huckabee said that while the Bible passage has nothing to do with being president, it is a guide for Christian marriage. He added that he'll neither hide his faith nor oppose it on others, but will live it as best as he can, whether he's elected president or not. He says that the Bible passage about wives submitting to their husband is meant for Christian marriages.
It really was spoken to believers, to Christian believers. I'm not the least bit ashamed of my faith or the doctrines of it. I don't try to impose that as a governor, and I wouldn't impose it as a president. But I certainly am going to practice it unashamedly, whether I'm a president or whether I'm not a president. The point, and it comes from a passage of Scripture in the New Testament book of Ephesians, is that as wives submit themselves to the husbands also submit themselves. And it's not a matter of one being somehow superior over the other. It's both mutually showing their affection and submission as unto the Lord.
Mike Huckabee says the Bible passage says both are to submit themselves to each other and to God.
Marriage is not a 50-50 deal where one each partner gives 50%. Biblically, marriage is a 100-100 deal. Each partner gives 100% of their devotion to the other. And that's why marriage is an important institution, because it teaches us how to love.
Well, I guess he got cut off, but we are not getting cut off. We have another hour if you'd like to speak about this. Do you think this kind of religious question is appropriate to ask a political figure, especially one running for the presidency of the United States? In other words, is there a place in the campaign for these types of questions? And does the candidate's religious beliefs really matter to the listener? Do they really matter to you? What I found interesting in listening to Mike Huckabee is he did say something that I rarely hear. The Bible passage, everybody thinks, refers to wives submitting to their husbands. But as he pointed out, he does say that it says to submit to one another, to submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. In fact, let me read to you that verse. It's Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Now, I'm not sure whether voters even think theologically. They maybe just be thinking about, okay, if this is his belief, is he going to impose this on the country? And we've talked a lot about the distinction between what God expects from Christians and what God expects from the secular realm. And they aren't always the same. For instance, God does permit divorce in the secular realm, no-fault divorce. But it is wrong for Christians to have a divorce that is unbiblical. There are only two grounds that Christians are permitted to have a divorce. That's adultery or desertion. So what do you think? Call us here at 505-7850, or at 1-800-730-2727. The first thing I'd like to talk a little bit about is the word submit. It's actually from two Latin words. Sub means under, and mit is from the verb missio, to send. You're probably familiar with how that also works in another word called a submarine. And I'm not talking about those delicious sandwiches. I'm talking about the vehicle that goes underwater. Why do they call it a submarine? Because sub means under, and marine is the word for water. So a submarine is something that goes under the water. Submit is something that you are under a mission from someone. Jesus, now he's God, yet he submitted himself to the will of the Father. That's why the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," because he did the mission for which he was sent. Now, what's the mission of the wife? Because God has set up, due to our fallen world, a kind of system of importance, or shall I say, a system whereby some people are over another. Can you imagine having a meeting with no chairman? It doesn't really matter who the chairman is. Or can you imagine having a meeting with two chairmen? God holds the husband responsible as the first line of defense against the devil, the flesh, and our sinful self, as well as the world. When it says that wives are to submit to their husbands, this doesn't mean that if the husband wants everybody to eat a certain kind of cereal, they all have to eat that cereal. No, it's talking about according to the will of God. So in a Christian marriage, and that's another point that Huckabee made that I thought was pretty good, is that this is a guideline that God intends for Christian marriages. Obviously, it's not a guideline intended for, let's say, a Muslim who's married to a Christian. A Muslim would not want, say he's the husband, would not want the children to be baptized. Well, there the wife would obey God rather than man. So that's another good point to make, that this is among Christians who have this relationship. So the wife submits to the husband in that when he says this is the will of God, and it is the will of God, she is to follow that direction. So if he says, well, we have children, we need to have them baptized, she's to submit to that if she is a Christian. How does he submit to her? Well, remember, submit doesn't mean you're inferior. It means that you have a mission, and by doing that mission, you are under the mission. Let me read to you, and then we'll go right to the phone lines. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now the husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Verse 28 of Ephesians 5 expands on that. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. You know what that means? It means that her desires and wants, when they're not involved with the will of God, come number one. Jesus served the church. The husband serves the wife. That's how he submits to her. She submits to him because he is the called individual by God who is the first line of defense against the world, the flesh, and the devil. So by listening to him, she's really listening to God. Our numbers here are 505-7850, toll free 1-800-730-2727. You can talk on this subject or any other subject to your heart's content. Let's go talk to Linda in Farmington. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Pastor. Well, I wouldn't limit the definition of roles to Christian. I think, you know, God created man and woman, and he meant for this to be our roles in society. And, Pastor,
Well, before you go on, Linda.
Yeah.
Somebody comes to my office, and she's a member of mine, and she married a fellow who's Jewish. And he tells her that they're not baptizing the children. She wants to baptize the children. And he uses this verse against her. Are you saying that she should obey him and therefore not have the children baptized?
You threw me a loop there.
Well, that's the purpose of AM 850 KFUO. It threw a loop in all of our commonsensical thinking. You know, it is God's will that everyone be a Christian, Linda. But can we say that those who are not still need to be under this kind of guideline from God, particularly when one is a Christian and let's say it's the wife and the husband is not?
Well, I sort of lived in a situation for 20 years before my husband came to the Lord, and I went by scripture. I respected him, and he allowed me and the children to go to church. I couldn't read my Bible in front of him for years, but...
Well, what if he had not allowed, if he said, it's my command that you and the children not go to church, nor should you read the Bible, what would you have done?
Well, I would have prayed harder, and there was 1 year where I backed off completely, and I was going by the word of God to win him to Christ, and I didn't want to hinder him in any way. And so submission, I loved him to Christ in that way. And where I'm going with this, though, he was still my spiritual head, even though he did not go to church, and I treated him as such. He was my spiritual head. And in our home, he knew best for our children and for me, and he loved us, and I trusted him, and he knew that, and he wasn't going to do anything to hurt us. And finally, he did. He came to Christ. But where I was going with this question was, you know, it's very scary to me. Geared the way I am, women are very emotional. They cry easily. It's really scary to me that a woman is running for president, and they don't have the emotional stability or the thought process that men do. And it's very scary to see a woman break down and start crying who's going to be in charge of this country if she won the election.
Linda, let me ask you just one question. So you did not think much of Margaret Thatcher?
I don't know much about her.
Well, she was a tremendous prime minister in England, and she was a woman, and I don't think I would have had any problem voting for her. She was of a Ronald Reagan type of mentality. She was very tough. And I'm just saying that I don't think there, especially in the political realm, I'm not sure we can say that just because you're a woman, you're not able to lead the country. It's not against God's will for a woman to be a president. And there are some women who would be able to have that capacity. And the fact that sometimes they cry, well, on the news lately, you've seen a lot of the candidates who are male for the president. They're showing pictures where they cried. For instance, Romney wept when he was talking about how the Mormon Church had again changed their theology, allowing black people to be equal. And he wept when he was talking about that, and nobody said much about that.
There's nothing wrong with weeping. It's just, I'm talking about the way we're geared. It's just, we think with our hearts, and...
Well, then, Linda, you never met my mother. Yeah, she would say sometimes, you wait till your dad comes home, and I was looking forward to dad coming home.
I didn't ever want to scare my kids of their daddy, you know.
No. I'm only talking tongue-in-cheek, but you get my meaning.
Yeah.
The subject is whether we should submit to one another, and I'm saying that in a Christian marriage, that is God's guideline, but I would not tell a Christian woman who's married to an unbeliever. You just so happen to have a husband that permitted the will of God to continue to take place in the family, even though he may not have been part and parcel of it. What happens, and I can tell you there are many situations where husbands really get kind of cranky if their will isn't followed, which would mean that the wife would be breaking the will of God. And there we say obey God rather than man.
Right, you're right. And, you know, my husband reads to me now every morning, and the Lord, he was faithful in bringing him that way. And
well, you're a perfect example of how faith can come to the husband through a believing wife.
That's right. And through his, I mean, he used our sons, too. Their faith and their knowledge of Scripture, they quoted verses when he asked about one, and there were so many things that just worked together for the good.
Well, thank you very much, Linda.
Thank you, Pastor. God bless you.
And you too. Yeah, this is, if I just got an email about somebody asking, don't you think it's the will of God that your children marry Christians? And I really had to think long and hard about that. Like, isn't it the will of God that wives should submit to their husbands? Well, it depends. The will of God is one thing prior to the fall of Adam and Eve into sin. It is no longer the same thing. Adam and Eve? Yes, Eve was to submit to Adam. No problem about that at all. But now that there are so many mixed marriages, and when I refer to mixed marriages, I'm talking about religiously mixed between Christians and non-Christians, it is not the will of God that in such a marriage the wife submits to the husband where she is told to do something that is contrary to the faith. For instance, let's say the wife conceived and was going to have a child and the husband didn't want anymore, and he told her, you go have an abortion because we can't afford another child. Well, I would say that the wife would leave the husband before having an abortion. That would be my pastoral view. And if the husband came back and said, well, look what Ephesians says. No, you need to look. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. That's what verse 22 says. So if the husbands are not representing the Lord properly in his word, she need not submit. She need not follow his mission. You know, it's kind of interesting that Linda brought up and had me bring up the idea of the weeping of Romney when the Mormon Church changed its view on black people. Well, we just have another little note here about another change the Mormon Church has made. It was found in the introduction to the 2006 edition of the Book of Mormon. The word among has been added to a passage about American Indians, because for a long time they've been presented by Mormon leaders as direct descendants of a lost tribe of Israel, known as the Lamanites. Now here's what the new introduction reads. After thousands of years, all were destroyed except the Lamanites, and they are among the ancestors of the American Indians. In the previous editions, the phrase was, they are the ancestors. So once more, we see the Mormon Church having to change its doctrine and theology simply because when they make statements like this, there isn't the evidence that can back that up, because we're talking about historical facts here. Church defenders, of course, say there's nothing important in the change, but skeptics say church missionaries have long portrayed the Book of Mormon as correct historic fact. To them, it looks like the new wording is a quiet concession that DNA research contradicts the scriptural claim. Now, what has this got to do with law and gospel? Well, we get our law and gospel from the Word of God, the Holy Bible, not from the Book of Mormon. We cannot change the Bible regardless of the scientific or historical facts that other people seem to say, because the Word of God takes precedent over anything. So if some scientists suggest, well, this world is billions of years and there was lots of death prior to the coming of Adam and Eve, who actually were two apes, one called Adam, one called Eve, and they became human beings, those are direct contradictions to the historical facts of the Scripture. Genesis 1 isn't a scientific chapter. It is a historical chapter. So the reason we are against long-term evolution, what's called macroevolution, is because it contradicts the Word of God in its historicity of what happened. It's not science. God doesn't say, like when he created Adam, he said out of the dust of the ground, but there's no scientific explanation how that happens, just like in the Lord's Supper. When the bread and wine now bring with them the body and blood of Jesus Christ, we have no scientific understanding of how that occurs. But we still certainly have a true historic understanding. So, those are two subjects. If you'd like to talk about Huckabee's comments on submitting wives to husbands, or the new change in the Mormon Book of Mormon introduction, numbers here are 505-7850, toll-free 1-800-730-2727. One of the items we talked about, by the way, this week, if some of you had written me some emails on that and you might be wanting to talk about it on the air, is we did a paradigm or an outline as to what should be a proper law and gospel sermon. And I want to say that doesn't mean that every sermon necessarily needs to be a law and gospel sermon. I can't think of one that shouldn't be. I'm not aware of any that are better than law and gospel sermons or a different kind of sermon. But I'm open to learning in this area. But if you're doing a law and gospel sermon, the big distinction we made is part of the sermon should be a lecture where you're simply explaining the meaning of the text. And you may have some great insights from history or culture, but then the main part of the sermon needs to be using the distinctions of law and gospel. And the way we like saying it is you need to not just talk about what is the law, or talk about the content of the gospel, like the Apostles' Creed, you need to execute the law. That is, you need to have the hearers who are listening to you understand, guess what? I am indicted by God's law. Now, most of you to whom I'm speaking right now are not pastors, you're laity. Why would this be of interest to you? Because you would now have a way of listening to sermons to see if they are truly long gospel sermons. I know in my own experience, I've often heard a sermon and had such a great insight. I said, boy, I never heard that before. That was really a good sermon. Forgetting that if the insight isn't used to therefore execute the law on the basis of the passage and then declare the gospel that counters that law, you've just heard a very good lecture or a Bible study, but not a sermon. Or something else may be on your mind. So when we get back from the break, don't hesitate to call. Numbers here are 505-7850 or toll-free 1-800-730-2727. And our in-studio email address at lawgospel@kfuo.org. I'm Tom Baker. Stay with us through the break.
The season of Epiphany, the season of the revelation of the gospel to this dark world, sometimes thought of as the season after Christmas and before Lent. During the month of January, during this time of Epiphany, perhaps you could bring some light to this world with your day sponsorship of this gospel voice. Your announcements would light a candle during this time in between. There are dates in January available to you right now. Become an Epiphany Day sponsor of AM 850 KFUO.
We thank Reliable Heating and Cooling for being a corporate underwriter of AM 850 KFUO. Here's a few winter heating tips from Reliable. Don't let your furnace filters get dirty. Check the filters at least once a month, replace disposable filters, or clean the permanent ones whenever they do look dirty. Reliable Heating and Cooling performs routine maintenance, such as cleaning filters and humidifiers. 8463 Delport Drive, Reliable Heating and Cooling, 314-423-3535.
Hi, this is Dr. Bill Meyer with the James Dobson Family Minute. Have you ever been tempted to lower your standards for your kids because you've blown it yourself? Maybe you feel it's hypocritical to set a standard you can't keep. Here's what my colleague Dr. James Dobson has to say about that.
I've said many times that how well I do the job with my own kids and how well Shirley does it with our kids is important, but the principles are correct if we fail at it. Mm-hmm. You know, because God does not need us to validate His Word and His principles. And it is tough. We don't do it perfectly. Nobody does it perfectly. We all fall short.
If you've made mistakes in your parenting in the past, pick yourself up, admit to your family that you blew it, and keep on going. To help you do that, we have a complimentary membership program just for parents. You can find out about it at focusonyourchild.com.
On Sunday, January 13th, vocal and instrumental groups from the Concordia Seminary community will participate in an Epiphany celebration. The Chapel of St. Timothy and St. Titus on the campus of Concordia Seminary is the setting, and AM 850 KFUO will broadcast the event live. We encourage you to attend this special Epiphany celebration, but if you cannot, then listen at 3 p.m. Sunday to the live broadcast here on AM 850 KFUO, Inspirational Christian Radio for the World.
Childhood obesity has become a serious problem in the U.S. Many parents don't realize their child is overweight or they think they'll outgrow it. Hi, I'm Dr. Mark. Join my co-host, Michelle Bauer, and our guest, Dr. Lori Utek, a family physician, as we talk about the causes of and the solutions for childhood obesity. Join us on Life Revised, because life is a series of revisions.
Saturday mornings at 9:30 on AM 850 KFUO.
Can a nation founded on biblical principles and proclaiming "In God We Trust" ever be abandoned by that God? On the next Focus on the Family broadcast, we'll hear a challenging message from Dr. John MacArthur, respected Bible scholar and teacher, and find out how God's Word answers that very question. That's on the next Focus on the Family with Dr. James Dobson.
Weekdays at 9:30 on AM 850 KFUO.
The 16th Annual Adult Choir Member Workshop, Schola Cantorum, will be held on the campus of Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, on Saturday, January 19, 2008. Make sure your choir members are registered for this symposium, part of the continuing education programs offered at Concordia Seminary. Contact the Continuing Education Office via email by writing ce@csl.edu or look online at csl.edu to find out more about Schola Cantorum at Concordia Seminary, January 19th.
The point, and it comes from a passage of Scripture in the New Testament book of Ephesians, is that as wives submit themselves to the husbands also submit themselves. And it's not a matter of one being somehow superior over the other. It's both mutually showing their affection and submission as unto the Lord.
It's one of the topics we were talking about in the first part of this hour here on Law and Gospel, AM 850 KFUO. I'm Tom Baker, your host. It is a politician, Huckabee, talking about his explanation of Ephesians chapter 5 in regard to the submission of a wife to her husband. And we were just asking the question, do you think those are appropriate questions to ask politicians? We also then talked about the whole concept of Mormonism and how they are changing their Book of Mormon. If you have questions in those areas, don't hesitate to call, or maybe you just read something in the news. Heard something on the radio, the television, read it in the newspaper? You've got a question about it? A lot of times, as we did yesterday with comics, you don't really read them from a law gospel perspective. But we tried to show you how that can be done. And what we mean by a law gospel perspective is God has a certain view of human beings that human beings don't have of themselves. What I mean by that is, if you ask most human beings, are people naturally good or evil, they'll by and large say they're normally good. Well, God doesn't think that way. He believes that people are inclined to evil. And even when you do a good work, it is evil in His sight because of the manipulation you're doing against other people by means of that good work, or certainly because, unless you're a Christian, you never have the right motivation in doing that good work. So God reads us differently. And that's why I enjoy watching television shows like Everybody Loves Raymond and reading the comics from a law gospel perspective, because there we see really what people are going through in a fallen world. One example only from the number of comics that we read yesterday, where a son overhears his father talking about his briefcase from work as a grief case. And it kind of shows that for a lot of people, they don't understand vocation, and they regard work as something they have a lot of grief over and can hardly wait to either they get another job, or how many people look forward to retirement. It is a fact. Many people are retiring much earlier, sometimes because of the available pensions, but a lot of times because they just got to get out of the workplace. So, anything on your mind? One item that came across the desk here is, this is hardly believable, but a man who believed he bore the mark of the beast on his hand actually used a circular saw to cut off his hand. And then he had it put in a microwave, which, of course, after it was in the microwave, it could not be reattached. He was calm when the sheriff deputies arrived Saturday in this northern Idaho town in Kootenai County. He's now in protective custody in the mental health unit of the medical center. Now, it's interesting to note that the article says that it's not immediately clear whether the man had a history of mental illness. Hospital spokeswoman Lisa Johnson would not say whether an attempt was made to reattach the hand, citing patient confidentiality. Now, the book of Revelation in the New Testament does contain a passage in which an angel is quoted as saying, "If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on the forehead or on the hand, he too will drink the wine of God's fury." The book of Matthew also contains this passage, "And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of the body than for your whole body to go into hell." Now, there you got God's word. But what have we said time and time again on Law and Gospel about God's word? Before you can apply it, you have to first interpret it. If you just take the Bible literalistically, and that means by not looking at the context, then you'll have to say there is no God. Because the Bible says that. There's a Bible verse. There is no God. Now, totally out of context, because what does the rest of the verse say? "There is no God," says the fool in his heart. It's very important to take a look at the context. And if you take a look at the context in Revelation, where it talks about the mark on the forehead or on the hand, if you have that mark from God's point of view, you can't get rid of it by rubbing it out or cutting off your hand. Because it'll just move from your hand to your forehead. Then what's he got to do? Cut off his head? The fact is that from God's point of view, that mark may occur. But what do you do with a passage in the Sermon on the Mount? It not only talks about if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It also says if your right eye causes you to sin, and that was adultery in that context, you're to pluck it out. And there is an event that occurred in Great Britain some years ago where a man did pluck out his eye because of his desire to do adultery. Now, what is the context of the Sermon on the Mount? Is Jesus serious that people need to cut off their hand and pluck out their eye? And the answer is, he absolutely is. That's what you would have to do. What do you mean that's what you would have to do? Can't we say that Jesus maybe is just exaggerating here or something, that it could mean something else? Look at the context of the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is found, the context and the meaning, is in chapter 5, verse 20. "For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Now, this is very important to understand. Jesus is not talking about the righteousness that he gives you. He's talking to a congregation, a group of hearers before him, who believe that the righteousness that they must have is their own righteousness. They look up to the Pharisees and the scribes. Oh, I wish we could be like them. And Jesus comes out and talk about executing the law. He says, oh, so you think if you reach the level of the scribes and Pharisees? I tell you this, unless your righteousness exceeds their righteousness, you don't have a ghost of a chance of entering the kingdom of heaven. And then he gives a bunch of examples of what you would have to do for your own righteousness to get to heaven. One of them is in murder. He says, well, the Pharisees and scribes, okay, they don't murder anybody. At least they don't think they do. But they have thoughts of hatred. They have words of despisement towards others. That is breaking the fifth commandment. Now, by the way, when you hear the sermon of Jesus, the law is executed on you and me also. There isn't a commandment you and I don't break. If not outwardly, certainly inwardly, by thought or by word or by sin of omission, if not a sin of commission. But when he gets down to adultery, he says, okay, if you want your righteousness to get you to heaven, you're going to have to get rid of anything that causes you to sin. Are you a thief? Cut off your hand. Are you an adulterer? Pluck out your eye. Jesus is not exaggerating here at all. He is simply saying that if you want to get to heaven by obedience to the law, then you better get rid of everything that causes you to sin. Remember in Mark chapter 10, he does that with the rich man. The guy says, what do I have to do to get into the kingdom of heaven? Oh, you want to be the one who has to do something? Well, your riches tend to make you sin, therefore get rid of your riches. That's called a living under the law theology. Every religion in the world lives under the law. But Christianity is a living under the gospel theology. Number one, it's not your righteousness that gets you to heaven. It's the righteousness of Christ, which he gives you in the waters of baptism. It is not your works that God is looking at on Judgment Day. It is the fruit of the Holy Spirit as he worked through you and you cooperated with the Holy Spirit. So there's two ways to get to heaven. One is impossible in reality, but if you wanted to do it, you would have to never do a sin and therefore get rid of anything that causes you to sin, whether it's your hand, whether it's your eye, or whatever, your riches. Or the other way is to trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, who took care of your sin, namely that curse of the law, that punishment of eternal death, so that now you can be rich on earth, keep both your hands and both your eyes, and still have the kingdom of heaven as your sure home. All right, we'll go back to the phone lines at 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Let's go speak with Phil. Hi, Phil.
How you doing?
Good.
I saw a truck today, and I was just wanting your opinion on it. I thought it was pretty interesting.
Well, I'm not into trucks too much.
Well, this is the advertisement on it.
Oh, there's an advert. Okay, all right. I thought you would. Should you buy a Dodge or a Toyota? Yeah. What did it say, Phil?
It's, I guess, truth in advertising, but it said cons, C-O-N-S, movers. And right underneath cons, it said convicted once, now saved. And it said licensed and bonded, you know, and then I guess a preacher's name that it said some kind of prison ministry. And I talked to a young man that was standing there beside her, and he said, oh, yeah, the man comes and preaches to us in prison and then just started this company so he can give us a job once we get out. I mean, that's pretty neat, but it just threw me off to see that, you know, on the side of the moving van.
I'm wondering, do they get a lot of business?
I don't know.
Yeah, you should have asked them. Would you use them?
I guess I would, but I don't know. Maybe I'd watch them all the time.
Yeah. You'd only have them there when you were home.
Yeah.
You know, that's very interesting because I thought you really weren't talking about a prison ministry, that you were talking about convicted once now saved, that these were people who were once unbelievers and now believers, but it appears that they also were prisoners in a jail.
Yes, that's right.
There's no doubt that one of the reasons so many people go back to prison is once they get out, and even if they have good intentions, very few people will hire them. But here you have an individual who has made it his mission, his vocation, to make sure that these individuals may have jobs, so at least that may not be the thing that tempts them to go back into their life of crime. I think that's a really wonderful thing, and I think it's even more wonderful that people would phone and use the service. Because if I told you, yes, I've got a babysitter for you. Now, he just got out of jail, but he has become a Christian. Would you mind him staying with your two children while you go out to a movie? You know, that's really hard to say yes to that.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to say yes. But this individual who started this moving company, I hope he's successful. But you know what's going to happen? The first time that a con who was in prison steals something or takes something, that could just about be the end of the business.
Yeah, because I asked him, I said, so where do you go to church at? And he says, well, I don't, but the other two guys that's working with me here, they do.
Oh, my.
So yeah.
I don't go to church, but they do.
Yes.
Yeah, it would be wonderful. Now, that doesn't mean he's not a Christian, because so many Christians grew up in a church which was so legalistic that every time they hear the word church, they just had bad vibes. They just can't understand anybody would ever go to a church to get under that bondage again and burden of, you know, you better be right or Jesus is Santa Claus. He's not going to give you anything but coal. But this is very interesting. You know, you don't have their phone number or anything, do you?
I took a picture of it, put it on my phone, but I don't have the phone number.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. But yes, I do have it.
Send it to me at lawgospel@lawgospel.com. I'd be kind of interested maybe in phoning him personally, or he might be somebody who'd be very interested in talking on the radio. Just see what his motivation is and why he's going that direction. The very fact that he says convicted once now saved, you asked him if he went to church. He said no. Did you ask him if he was saved?
No, I didn't. I didn't have a whole lot of time.
Yeah, I know.
On my job, but
yeah, and you were watching behind your shoulder too, I think.
Well, the reason I kind of understood everything too is in the early '80s, before I was a Christian, I was in prison myself. So, I sold drugs, didn't talk, so I went to prison. And actually, that didn't change me. You know, I had people witness to me there, but
when you got out, did you have a job waiting for you?
No, I didn't, and it took a long time to try to, you know, get people to get a job. As a matter of fact, until I started going to church, that's when I made some contacts and people got me to where I could work. But other than that, no one wanted to hire me.
Wow. You know what the coincidence is? That here on AM 850 KFUO, you have somebody who's had the same experience as these people, meet these people, and then express what you've done. Thank you very much, Phil. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
And thanks so much. I was Phil. And we'll keep that business in our prayers. And I'm looking forward when Phil gives me the phone number. I might just call the individual and see really what's going on here. And I'm more excited about this simply because, as many of you know, about 2 months ago, I had the privilege of speaking to about 50 or 60 prisoners at a jail that one of our pastors, where he is a chaplain part-time, took me. And I'm still getting reverberations back from that, very positive ones, because, of course, we were talking to them about law and gospel, and many of them had not even entertained such a notion. So I'll look forward to Phil's response. Our number's here in case you would like to phone, 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Let's go talk to Lee in South County. Hi, Lee.
Hi, yes, I think it was a couple of days ago you had your program focused on about how people aren't happy. They think more and more things will make them happier, and then they get those things, and then that doesn't make them happy, and then they want more.
Yes.
And I thought that was one of the best programs you had ever done. I didn't get to hear all of it, but it reminded me of something. I had read a column in the St. Louis Post some years ago, and I posted it on my refrigerator, and one phrase she made in her column was, if you're not happy with the things you have, how do you think you can be happier with more? And that just so much, your program so much reminded me of that. And I also would like to have met your mother when you talked about the car that you had. You must have had a very enduring mother. I had two teenage sons, but your car experience was quite an eye-opener. I couldn't believe you were saying that. I guess it was true.
Oh, yes. In fact, one of these, every now and then she phones in on the 800 number, and I'll ask her if that was true, and she'll talk about that experience.
Well, I have to believe that you're telling the truth.
Oh, yes. Well, because, you see, I tape all these programs, put them on CD, and she listens to them.
The only
problem is she's 2 years behind.
Oh, no.
Because she's trying to also, you know, organize them and such. And so I was home for Christmas, and she says what she does now, she starts listening to the ones she first gets, and so she's now going backwards.
Oh, yeah. But I thought your program was fantastic about the wealth part and wanting more and more, and you don't find true happiness in that sort of, you know.
Well, you know why it might have been very helpful? Because that was real to me. Because I've had those experiences,
thinking
that the more you get, you know, you always want the best of the computers, and then when you get it, all of a sudden, you know what I've discovered, which is interesting, Lee, is a program will go on sale for half the cost that I have been waiting for so long. So instead of $200, it's $100. So I rush and I get it, and I save $100, and 1 week later comes out the new program that you have to upgrade for $100 more.
Exactly.
Which means if you just waited, you would have got the new one for $200.
And you never catch up, though.
No, you never catch up. And so you're finally at a point where you just sit back and let it happen.
But be happy with what God has given you, and don't you know, be envious of others and always want more and more and more.
But you know how that comes about? It comes about by what I was doing is just telling you that the more greedy a person is, the more they get, it actually increases their greed. It doesn't minimize it.
That's right.
Yeah,
it was a great program.
Well, I thank you very much for that.
Okay.
Thank
God
you,
bless
Lee.
You. Bye-bye.
In fact, I have an email here from an individual who was saying much the same Lee was on that and one other program, and was unable to figure out how to download that. Well, I'll tell you that in a moment, right after I mention, you know, in light of what Lee says, look at all the Hollywood meltdowns where money does not make you happy. In fact, I'm really surprised that in this big political season, some of the programs are actually leading with certain Hollywood individuals and the troubles they are going through, as though it really means anything to me. But you see, this is a law and gospel point of view. They may not think of it in this way, but why do people really listen more to those programs? Because from a law and gospel point of view, we love to hear bad things about others. Because it makes us feel so good about ourselves. That's how sinful we are. In answer to the question, then, how do you get these programs? Well, if you don't have a computer, you can write to me at lawgospel@lawgospel.com, and I will send you CDs of any of the programs. You just have to tell me the date and the hour. And they start at $5, and the more you get, there's a sliding scale where they finally get down to $3 because the postage is about the same. But if you have a computer, here's how you do it. You go to kfuo.org. And when you do that, you'll see on the left side the AM side. And you click on that. And then you go to Law Gospel or any of the other programs. And by then taking a look at what is being said there, you can download it either as a what they call a WMA audio file or a MP3 audio file. Now, I always put them on my computer as MP3s. The reason for that, it only takes about 40 seconds to transfer a whole hour program over to your computer. And then by clicking on it, you can listen to it in your own spare time. It's a wonderful program. In fact, you'll notice, about 2 days ago, I was talking about a paradigm for good sermons, and I used the sermon of Daniel Preuss that he had preached at Village Ledoux last week. And Gary and the good folks here at AM 850 KFUO were able to download that for me, so we had it on a CD. and issues, etc., they even do better than I do because they actually tell you what the subjects are of their various hours. I don't do that. A good example is today. We're already on our fourth subject, and we're not even done the first hour, although we're just about done it. If you have any questions as we're going into the next hour, don't hesitate to give us a ring. We appreciate those of you who have phoned so far. And the numbers here are 505-7850 and toll-free 1-800-730-2727. I don't know if you have a cell phone, but you are able to put on a cell phone a whole bunch of numbers, of course. And what I've done, especially in the nighttime when AM850 KFUO is off the air, I have some of the phone numbers for some of the other radio stations that are also call-in programs. And so if I'm driving around and I hear, boy, that he just didn't get that right. I know he's trying to talk theology, but he doesn't have it right. I'll just be able to go to my cell phone and look up that radio station, and there's a number right there, and call it in. So you might want to put these numbers on your refrigerator, on your cell phone, wherever you can find them pretty quickly. If something is being heard that you either don't understand or maybe you have some additional insight on, the numbers are 505-7850 and toll-free 1-800-730-2727. To reach me while I'm on the air, you use lawgospel@kfuo.org. And to reach me when I'm off the air, you use lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Lawgospel@lawgospel.com, by the way, is my own email. It's a private email. And unless you give me permission, I do not share private things that you ask me on that one with anyone else. I consider it kind of a pastoral type of thing. And that's why I really appreciate those of you who put down your phone number, because I tend to like to talk to people rather than write emails back. Because when I write an email, I just did that for a friend of mine, and it ended up being 1.5 pages, and I still didn't have all my thoughts in there. Whereas if I had simply phoned him, it would have been a lot quicker. Now, we're going to the break right now, and we'll take the calls when we get right back. This is Open Line Friday here on Law and Gospel, and speaking about the changes in the Book of Mormon. Huckabee's what I consider to be a pretty good representation of what it means for a wife to submit to a husband, and then some calls about some other items, and particularly I'm interested in those former prisoners who are now part of a moving company. CONS Movers, that's the name of it. If any of you have had any experience with it or any thoughts on it, don't hesitate to give me a ring when we get back from the break. In the meantime, please listen to the news, some of the ads, and then I'll be back shortly.
Listen to Law and Gospel with Tom Baker, Monday through Friday at 1:05 p.m. on AM 850 KFUO. You can write Pastor Tom at AM 850 KFUO, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105, or at this email address, lawgospel@lawgospel.com.